Hello and welcome back to the Flavor Podcast. This is episode 5 of Tag 2. And oh boy.
And oh boy, folks.
That's what I have to say.
It's getting spicy. It's getting spicy.
Oh boy.
Oh dear. Whew. I mean, if you just watched the episode, you've just seen what must be an all-time jet lag moment at the end there.
And I really didn't realize that I was experiencing an all-time jet lag moment, but that was,
yeah, that's the most fascinating bit from, like, actually, you know what?
We'll get to it.
I think we have a lot to say about the final moments of this episode, but there's a lot that leads up to that. But I mean, that's probably what we'll want to talk most about, because that is for sure an all-time moment.
It's pretty crazy what happened.
Yeah, we start, you know, with Adam. Well, I will say it's all down to Adam. Adam found this route. Adam's genius plan to save us an hour.
Hour and a half, actually.
Hour and a half, sorry. I was glad for the plan, but I was disappointed because it meant that instead of going and getting like a nice little dinner right where we were, we had to go to like the middle of nowhere in Belgium to a tiny station and sit there. From the game perspective, it was great. From my hunger perspective and my tiredness perspective and want to just get to a hotel right there perspective, I was not thrilled to be getting in a taxi to the middle of nowhere at like 7:15 p.m., 45 minutes before the rest period started.
That footage was very funny because you could tell that Sam, like, we didn't include the whole sequence in the episode, but like, you could tell Sam was exhausted and was just like, well, time to go to sleep. And Adam was like, no, no, there's something. I can find something. And then to his credit, he did. Oftentimes he's like, I can find something and then nothing happens.
Right.
And we could have gone to sleep. But that time he did.
I mean, the badness of this was mostly to Adam.
Right. Yeah. It was arguably sort of neutral for you because the further Ben got south, the better situation for you, sort of.
And, you know, my plan was to go to Brussels. Ben was still on the route that I had planned. So, like, from my POV in this perspective, it's like, yeah, that lead is a problem, but Ben is still sort of, like, going in the direction I need, which is part of why, you know, you'll notice here and kind of throughout this episode, I very consciously, you know, deferred to Adam for strategic decisions because I didn't want to be in a situation where I had, like, said we should do this, but it turned out the other thing was right. Therefore, that meant that Adam was not able to, you know, get a run or that Ben was heading further into my territory and making it harder for Adam. So, like, I think that tends to be how we've done things in general is, like, usually the person that leads the strategy more or less is the next runner.
Yeah, you defer more to that.
More of an informal rule than a formal rule, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
It was definitely an instance in which my sort of neuroses and obsessiveness like did pay off, which it does not always.
Yep.
I mean, you can see me losing my mind in that footage of just like pacing wildly.
You can hear it cracking.
Yeah. Like I'm going nuts because like, again, and I think we sort of addressed this, but it's like the situation was so comically like bizarrely bad for a 15-minute lead to suddenly become a 3-hour lead. It was like, this cannot be possible. It was like, there has to be something we can do.
Because like the only other time in the history of tag that such a lead has happened was in a situation where like, it was very straightforward. It wasn't some crazy confluence of circumstances. It's just that we were in a station where the next train was not for 3 hours. And then this is like, we were in a big station in a densely populated region. And somehow it was just, again, the perfect confluence of circumstances. So it was probably more hilarious to us than it is to the audience because it's so complex that it, you know, might not come through just like how truly impossible it was. It was truly impossible except for that one route. And it was in a situation where it just did not feel like it should be that hard.
No, because you guys weren't in the middle of nowhere and I wasn't going to the middle of nowhere.
No.
Yeah, densely populated region.
Yeah, it's like a hub. Like Breda is like sort of a travel hub for like some lines.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really was a huge coup to figure that out. It made me feel a lot calmer. Mm-hmm. And then actually, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, we have probably one of the things that is kind of the purpose of the layover podcast to talk about, which is a decently big, inconsequential thing that happened in the background and you don't hear about. And it basically had to do with where Adam and I finished our day. And you'll be excited to know, I know people are always fascinated by like our edge case rules. You'll be excited to know that we were able to use one of our edge case rules.
It's true.
So Adam, do you want to kind of explain what happened or?
Sure. Yes. So we ended, as you saw, near the town of Brecht at a station, Norderkempen station. And basically, like, you know, when the day ends, you go to the nearest hotel pretty much and you sleep. And then you, of course, have to start the next day where you ended the previous day. And so we quickly learned there were no hotels anywhere near Norderkempen. So we realized what we were going to have to do was that night we would have to take a train to Antwerp to get a hotel. And then in the morning, we would have to take a taxi back up to that station to start the day. And that was going to be like a pretty decent amount of travel back and forth. But we would have done it, you know. But then our train to Antwerp got delayed by a full hour.
Yeah, I mean, I think it actually was more than an hour in the end.
But yeah. I think it was. No, I think you're right. I think it was more than an hour.
I think it was like an hour and a half, yeah.
And basically what it meant was like, we were in a situation where we, in order to do the traditional rule situation to get, and it was a thing where it was like, we were going to take a train to Antwerp that night so that we could wake up in the morning and take a car to Norderkempen to take a train right back to Antwerp. Like we already had to go to where we were going to go the next morning to sleep. So there is a provision in the rules. I mean, Sam, do you want to take over here?
Yeah. I mean, basically, like we realized, I mean, I don't even know when we put this in the rules. We had this actually last season. It never came into play. But we realized that this was a situation that we could encounter where we end up in a place without a hotel and therefore have to go further than that to get to a hotel,
yeah,
cutting into our rest periods. And we also realized, I'm kind of amazed that we actually had this much foresight, but we also realized that, you know, there's the potential that delays and travel faff could make it so that it's hard to get to a hotel from a given place where you stop, considering that we have these rules. Like, basically, we wrote these rules so that we didn't want anyone to ever influence where they end their day based on the rest period. Like, we don't want people having to stop in a big city rather than a small town that is actually better for them because they need a hotel. In our minds, the rest period, it shouldn't impact the game at all. So in order to do that, we wrote this rule where if for any reason, you know, through delays or practical matters, the rest period gets shortened significantly due to like travel shenanigans, we can basically
sort of virtually pick up a little bit later. So like, yeah, what we did was we went ahead to Antwerp. And then we just started the next day in Antwerp by making physical contact with the train we would have taken from Norderkempen that morning. So like we prove by doing that, like the train did arrive. It was not delayed. It was not whatever. We are not just assuming that it came. Like we are starting the day by physically going, touching the train that we would have taken that morning from Norderkempen into Antwerp. And starting our day, instead of starting at 6, I think we started at 6:25. But what that meant was that additional 25 minutes plus not having to go back in the morning meant we got like an extra like hour and a half of sleep, I think. And without that, our rest period just would have been too short.
Yeah.
And we need to sleep in order to not be really boring and low energy on camera.
Well, it's the kind of thing where like a lot of things are a bit of a balance with how we do the production side of this. Like, mm-hmm, for example, you know, there's like the balance of we're using iPhones where the video quality is fine, but not amazing. But the purpose is so that we are able to film in a very straightforward way where it doesn't like slow us down. Mm-hmm. Like that's another example of like a balance that we kind of do between two things to make this practical. This sort of thing is another example of a balance because it's like, okay, we could play it 100% by the book and, you know, sleep for 4 hours and have to do this. But ultimately, is it better to have that 10-second shot at the start of the day,
right,
at that train station where we ended it versus, you know, be much better rested and much more entertaining and just happy and not feeling like, yeah, death for the final day? And I think it, you know, becomes a pretty clear answer.
So what you see then there is like we just gloss over it in VO. And so we filmed multiple takes of us explaining all of this to camera. And then we also considered it explaining it in VO. And the truth was, it was just such a complicated explanation for something that was so inconsequential that we were just like, we will gloss over it. and we'll talk about it in the podcast. We don't want to hide it. We're not trying to like mislead anybody. It just is a thing where like, it was not worth the 1 minute long explanation in the video to account for a missing 10 seconds of footage. Like, it just wasn't worth it.
Yep. But I think one other thing worth mentioning more on Ben's side is, well, first of all, in this episode, I believe you do acknowledge the rather unbelievable situation where you end your day two, the same spot where you ended your day two last season, like the exact same spot.
The Brussels airport.
Same platform and everything.
Yeah.
Was it the same platform? I didn't know that.
I think it was. I mean, there aren't that many platforms there, but this time I didn't get caught there, which was good. It was the Brussels airport. I mean, I don't know. There's that much more to say there.
No, there's not much more.
It did have an ominous feeling to it where I was like, I got caught here last time. But
it's true.
Fortunately, I knew that I wasn't going to get caught there because the next morning I woke up to a photo of both of you.
Oh, yeah. We didn't include this.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to encourage people to do it. Well, and also because your conclusion from it was kind of wrong, but...
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really anything I could do with it. But someone took a photo of Sam and Adam in Norderkempen and posted it on Reddit. And I was like, oh, fuck, now I know where they are. Which was, I guess, right around where I thought you guys were.
Well, it was interesting because the photo in the caption said they got on a train to Antwerp. But that was just us going to Antwerp for our rest period.
Yeah.
But you thought it meant we had gotten to Antwerp that night. So you actually thought we were closer to you than we were. And ultimately
right.
It didn't end up affecting your strategy, but it was all a confusing thing of like, we didn't really want to encourage people to do this. So we didn't really want to include it. And also you drew the wrong conclusion from it, but then also that wrong conclusion didn't really affect your actions anyway. So it was just all sort of a confusing mess, but it was interesting that you did know for sure that we were not going to catch you that morning.
Yeah. And then I get on a train to Charleroi. There's kind of an interesting thing here where my plan was to get on this train to Charleroi. But then the next morning, I realized that there's an even better train straight to Namur because my plan was to go from Charleroi to Namur.
Right.
But then that train got canceled. But that actually ended up being really helpful for me because I think you guys had assumed...
Oh, yeah, this was a whole thing. Yeah, we can get into this.
That if I was gonna go to Namur, I would have gotten on the train directly to Namur.
Yep.
But you guys didn't know that it was canceled. So you followed me to Charleroi, even though you could have gone straight to Namur and cut me off
and
if
cut
you thought
you
I was going.
Yeah. And this was also something that was sort of confusing, so we gloss over it. But yeah, it was like, we had a whole thing where we were like, when you did then go to Namur, and I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, we were like, oh, he's doing a chaos strategy. We were like, he's just randomly getting on trains. Because if you don't have a plan, we can't predict your plan. Because we were like, why would you ever go Charleroi to Namur when you could have gone straight to Namur? And we were like, he just is playing a totally unpredictable game, which we at the time were like, that's a good plan.
But like last season, we would have gone to Namur, I think.
Yes.
But like we've learned that Ben likes to just meander around and try to confuse us. Or maybe he doesn't like to do that, but he does do that. And therefore, we thought it's not worth the risk. It's highly possible. Because like there were some decent options from Charleroi. From there, you could have crossed into...
Yeah, yeah. You could have gone the completely other direction, west.
I could have. I definitely could have. Yeah.
Or he could have made a connection down into France. Basically, actually, with... I believe it was on... You know, sort of like the route that, Ben, you were trying to take at the start of the last tag. I think you would have started to get into some of that territory that you took trains around.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but there definitely was a route through France. And
yeah,
I do remember being like, I'll admit I was a little biased towards going to Luxembourg just because I was like, I want to go there. I want to go to this weird little country.
Yeah,
I did too.
So I was probably optimizing for Luxembourg more than I needed to be.
I think we all wanted to go to Luxembourg.
Yeah.
I was personally glad to see you continue that direction. It's one of the few Western European countries I hadn't been to. But yeah, what I'll say is like, we learned this last season with you being not far from this area in northern France. It's so tough to play as the chasers in an area with such a dense web of regional trains, but no high-speed trains.
Right.
It's just like there are slow-speed trains just everywhere around here. but no high-speed trains where we can jump you.
Yeah, which ended up being, you know, quite helpful, as you saw.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to Namur, and I'm out of coins. So I pull a card. It's the mayonnaise one.
Right, and this was, as you set up in the thing, you needed to get a lot of coins very quickly, or else you were totally screwed.
I thought there was a very good chance that that was the end of my run. And when I pulled that card, I was like, I don't know if this is one of the ones you can do in 20 minutes.
It's been good. It's been fun.
But I run across the street. I get eggs. There was no, I couldn't find any oil in that store. So I had to buy a salad dressing and then filter it with my finger just to get the oil out.
I will say it feels impossible that there actually wasn't any oil.
There must have been, but I really looked around and I couldn't find any.
No, I mean, it's true. I mean, obviously you don't see all of the time Ben spends looking in the footage because that'd be boring, but you did spend quite a while looking.
I will say that watching this for the first time myself when we got the assembly cut, it might be like the all-time funniest moment to me, at least.
It's hard to describe how unpleasant it got.
It comes through, I think.
It does, but like in a way you had to be there because it was very hot and I was working on top of a dumpster and everything smelled really bad and I was covered in eggs.
These were all choices you made. No one made you do it on top of a dumpster.
It was the only surface I had. And the egg was flowing out and I was scooping it. And so that my hands were covered in just like trash and raw egg. And then we kind of gloss over it, but when I go get that cup, I'm digging through a trash can covered in egg to get that cup. And there was a man watching me the whole time.
Yeah, you had like a truck pull up. That had to have been devastating.
Yeah, you do often mention like there's a man watching me and you're worried he's mad at you. But you ultimately determined that you don't think he is mad.
No, I mean, obviously, no one could have ever known what I was doing exactly. But he was looking at me with like a lot of sympathy. I was like, do you need me to move?
I mean, you were in a very sympathetic situation. Like, it was clear that you were doing something very unpleasant.
Yeah, like whatever it was that I was doing, it was bad.
And you could tell on your face that you weren't having a good time doing it.
No, I didn't want to be doing what I was doing. But then after that challenge, and we didn't include this, but I go back into the station to try and find a bathroom to wash my hands because I'm covered, like my whole forearms are covered in raw egg and garbage.
My favorite shot is you walking into the station and just seeing your arm just moist.
Yeah, you can see I'm glistening.
And you see that the train, like, I think the only reason you even made it is it was delayed by a few minutes.
Yeah, well, maybe. I think I would have made it onto the original train, but my train was delayed.
Right, barely. Yeah, we glossed over all that just because, like, it was a huge triumphant moment for you that you had done this. And then your train was delayed like 15 minutes and then you were really worried and then you got on. And it was just like the vibe was weird because it was like you just did this thing that was really good that we told the audience was really good. But then you have to stand around and be like upset for 15 minutes felt really weird. So we just like put you on the train.
I was very upset because I was in that station and this motherfucking European train station.
With its pay bathrooms.
Pay bathrooms and its cash.
Only cash.
And I was begging them. I showed them. I was like, look, please just let me wash my hand. And they were like, no, you cannot go in there.
I don't think we have footage of you begging them.
Yeah, no, because I couldn't film because I was trying to show them my arms.
Right.
The whole thing was like a nightmare. And so I was just standing around in the heat with my eggy arms and I had to wait for the train to get there to wash my hands because the train had a bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
But I get on the train and I wash my hands.
I think there's gonna be a lot of eggy hand Ben fan art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Certainly gonna.
Well, I remember you describing this to me. I remember like afterwards, like, and we talk about your run and you were like, I got the mayonnaise one. I was like, oh, like, how was it? And you were like, I got covered in garbage. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And I remember you explained, you were like, I was doing it on a dumpster and the thing broke. And I remember being like, none of this makes any sense. And then I watched the footage and I was like, oh.
Yeah. That challenge did not play out the way we intended. We intended it to be like a fun cooking challenge.
Well, like, I remember when we were discussing this prior to the season, and I was a bit skeptical on a few reasons about this challenge. Like, I was a little skeptical about whether it was actually feasible. And I was like, is that going to be fun? Just like stirring some oils for a while? Is that going to be entertaining?
Right.
I will say, I was completely wrong. I will admit that. This came to be one of my favorite challenges of all time. But I think it was specifically because Ben did it.
Yeah, there was a lot of context that was necessary. Well, also, even before that, though, the face that Ben would make when he was emulsifying, like, you would start breathing really hard. Like, you would be like...
It was a tense situation.
Yeah, the passion you put into it really sealed the deal.
Well, because part of the problem was, in order to make mayonnaise, what you're supposed to do is slowly pour the oil in while you stir, which makes it a lot easier. But you decided to pour in all the oil. And in order to emulsify it, if you do that, you have to stir it so, so hard.
Yeah, it was a lot of elbow grease. And the first two times I tried it, it didn't work.
Yeah, you failed twice.
Here's what I'll suggest. I don't know if I should do this. I might be drunk with power. I think a fun jet lag viewer experiment is to simulate these exact conditions, find an egg carton, a dumpster, egg, and salad dressing.
I do not think we should tell people to do that.
I wouldn't recommend this experience. This experience was unpleasant.
I think that is a gross abuse of our power.
This seems like the perfect abuse of our power. I want to see more of this. See if you can beat Ben.
It's like the ice bucket challenge. It's the garbage mayonnaise challenge.
It's the garbage mayonnaise challenge. It's the dumpster mayonnaise challenge.
We're raising money to buy Ben more fun pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd support that.
Well, you know, the more complex the pattern.
No, that's not true. We're just raising awareness, right? Because I guess it's just to raise awareness of the fact that you can make mayonnaise on a dumpster.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I would not have eaten the mayonnaise that I had made on the dumpster.
No, no. It clearly was not edible.
Big contrast to, like, I'm remembering, like, our other egg challenge was, like, the end of New Zealand. And Toby nailed that one.
She did.
And we were in, like, an idyllic location. And it was, like, weirdly straightforward. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yep, made some deviled egg. But it turns out when all you have is a dumpster and an egg carton and you don't have the beautiful mountains of Queenstown behind you, it plays out a little differently.
I mean... In fairness, I will say, like, Ben very much did not have the tools for the job.
No,
like,
no.
He didn't have any have oil, even, for starters. And then he did not have a container. At the grocery store, Ben, you could have bought, presumably, a paper cup, I imagine. And you chose not to do that.
Maybe I could have. It was a very small store. I admittedly didn't think about that.
At a minimum, you could have bought like a cup noodle that would have had a cup and you could have dumped the noodle out.
I just remember thinking like the egg carton should be good enough. And I didn't really consider that it was going to disintegrate like that.
But anyways, we have another all-time moment to get to.
I mean, you get ratatouille, obviously.
Yeah, you get ratatouille, which was very confusing from our POV.
Mm-hmm. Yes, extremely confusing.
Because you were doing something that made no sense.
I mean, and unlike you, I decided to keep it because from that station, like, all four directions would have been not necessarily game-ending for me, unlike your ratatouille curse.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'll roll with this and just hope. And actually, I ended up getting a direction that was like, it gotta be one of my top two preferred directions at that point.
Yeah, like you had some options if you had gone to the end of that train line. So we were actually, I think we largely cut this out, but like we were considering, we could have popped out at the last station before getting to Luxembourg and taken a taxi down to that area.
Yeah.
The only reason we didn't do that in the end was because we thought that like it was pretty high risk to use our taxi card, because the cool thing about Luxembourg is like we could have gotten to a lot of Luxembourg just by a 30-minute taxi.
Right.
So we considered it too much of a risk to use that card, considering I think you have to wait, was it 2-3 hours?
It's 2 hours. Yeah. Because our logic was like, if we take a taxi into the middle of nowhere, if we take a taxi to a place where you can really only take a taxi to, well, then if we can't use another taxi for 2 hours, then you are stuck. So instead, we did something even smarter, which was to get absolutely swerved.
Oh,
yes,
man.
But in a place with more trains.
I mean, Ben, do you want to talk through, because it's not 100% clear, like what you thought you were doing versus what you did?
Yeah, it's a little chaotic. So I can walk the audience through at least what was going on in my head. So like when I was going along that route and then I decided to go down back down to Metz, I was thinking at that point, you guys are probably in Luxembourg. That was my assumption. I was like, I think they're probably in Luxembourg station. And so when I started heading back, my assumption was that you guys were going to think that I was going back to Luxembourg station.
Right.
Because that's where I left from. And that you were just going to wait for me there and tag me there. Because I figured it would have been a little risky for you guys to sort of come down the route and try and tag me on my way back. Even though that is what you guys ended up doing. But my plan was to go to one stop before Luxembourg, which was that place, Howald. And then from there, it was only like a 10-minute wait until the train down to Metz. And so I figured, like, if I stop there and I'm only waiting 10 minutes, that's a short enough period of time that hopefully they'll still think that I'm headed up to Luxembourg and they won't realize that I got off the train and I'm transferring down.
Right.
But little did I know. And to my credit, like, it's weird that you guys happen to be at Howald.
No, it's true. Well, I think that, like, to your credit, like, there's an extent to which your plan kind of worked. It's like, we did mistakenly believe that you were going back up to Luxembourg station.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So in a sense, like, your plan half was effective. I mean, it was entirely effective, and it was half for the reason that you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just ended up getting kind of lucky that you guys didn't spot me.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, we scrubbed both of our footage every frame to see if, like, you could see Ben in the background of, like, our footage, or if you could see us in the background of Ben's footage.
Yeah.
And you just can't.
I spent, like, a good, like, half hour going literally frame by frame and, like, cross-referencing across Ben's footage, too. And it's almost amazing how much we avoided it.
Right.
Because, like, we should have been able to see Ben, but it just happened that, like, the exact angles that we used when crossing the exact mm-hmm. windows and, like, the timing, it was so, so close. But it was, like, literally just the chance of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been harder to not film Ben, like, to do it on purpose. Like, it's crazy that he's not in there.
One thing that I think is worth mentioning, which is kind of fascinating if you think about it, is, like, we only barely got off the train in time in Howald.
Right.
Because we noticed while we were on that train down that Ben was coming back. And, like, we had to make a split-second decision. And therefore, we only barely, by, like, probably a matter of less than a minute, you know, decided to get off at that station. If we had not, if we had gone to the next stop, we would have been able to catch Ben reliably.
Mm, that's true.
Ultimately, yeah, because it would have stopped there, his train to Metz.
We would have seen him transfer at Howald, and that train would have stopped there. We would have nabbed him, and it would have been GG.
Or if you'd just gotten on my train in Bettenberg, you could have gotten me before Howald. Yeah.
Yeah, but we couldn't have gotten on
maybe
train in Bettenberg. The timing wouldn't have worked. Yeah.
Yeah, the stars aligned for me to get out of that situation, certainly.
Yeah, and, like, I'd say, like, Adam was fully ready to go. Because in our minds, like, this was a sure shot. Like, there was no chance.
Well, it's never happened before that both teams have been at the same place ready to tag and then someone has swerved. We've talked about it a lot of times about the possibility of this, of getting off the platform and the other team gets on, or staying on the train and the other team stays on the platform. Like,
it's the Shinkansen gamble. It's just that the Shinkansen gamble didn't work.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we've discussed it many times, but no one has ever successfully done it.
Yep.
And this time I did it by accident.
But we're getting pretty deep in day three here, and Ben just bought himself another decent lead. So, I mean, it's probably pretty clear that next episode's gonna be pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, what? There are, like, at this point, there's, like, 8 hours left? 9 hours left?
If that, yeah. If
that. More than that. I think we're looking at...
What time of day is this? But
no, actually, maybe you're right. Maybe it might be 8-ish.
No, because I think this is, like, noonish.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's not a lot of time left, and so, you know... It's gonna come down to the wire.
But yeah, so we can't wait for you to see that episode. But for now, this was episode 5 of the Layover Podcast, brought to you by me.
Brought to you by Jack Link Beef Jerky. Mmm, jerky.
I wish.
And that too. So bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.